The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship. We're glad to see every one of you today, and we're especially glad to have as our special guest the Graham High School Chorus under the direction of Jennifer Wells. Jennifer, thanks so much for being back with us this year, and I know that you will enjoy their music. We'll actually be taking the offering for them a little later. I'll tell you about that later, but we're glad to see all of you today. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin. As you're doing that, make sure you sign the Friendship Register booklet. You should find the inside aisle of your pew. If you're visiting with us, we'd love to have your name and address, but we're glad to see all of you today. Look at the announcements in your bulletin. Notice that next Sunday, Dr. Mickey Eford will be with us to begin a Sunday school series in the Fellowship Hall at 9:30. All the adults will be meeting together. He'll be teaching through the Gospel of John for 5 weeks, and what a great privilege it will be for us to learn from him. So make sure you are here and invite someone else to come with you. Maybe this would be a good opportunity for you to say they're going to have a good teacher for a change at that church. And he'll be preaching during worship too. So make sure you invite people to come with you next week. And remember, next week, it doesn't seem right, but you need to change your clock. Yeah, lose an hour of sleep. Lose an hour of sleep Saturday night. Pick it up during worship Sunday morning. No. But make sure you do change your clock next week. This past Sunday, we had a meeting with an interest meeting about the trip to Israel for next year, and we had a great turnout and a lot of people interested. I know some were not able to come, but if you are interested, you can find the information about registration for that trip. And if you are someone maybe who is not able to go, but you'd like to enable someone else, especially our youth. We have a number of them who want to go, but, you know, it's expensive. So if you can help with that in any way, we'd appreciate that. You can give a gift to that. Notice that during the season of Lent, we'll be focusing on the promises of God, and I've written a devotional book to help you with that. A different promise of God and a different prayer to God for every day of the season of Lent, and those are available in the narthex if you want to pick one up today. Yes, it is right season of Lent right around the corner. It'll begin Wednesday with Ash Wednesday, so that means that we will be having a pancake supper at 5 o'clock in the Fellowship Hall. There's not a sign-up sheet for this, so just please come, 5 o'clock. And if you can't be there right at 5, we'll be serving from 5 to 6, so just come as soon as you can. And then at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we'll have a 30-minute worship service with the imposition of ashes for Ash Wednesday. So if you're working, you can't come for the dinner, be here for the service at 6 o'clock. Notice that also the art exhibit of the paintings of the life of Christ, we expect those to be brought this week, and so that will actually officially start next Monday, a week from tomorrow, that Monday, March the 11th. So just a few slots still left for people to be here, just to be present in the Fellowship Hall during that time. And if you can help with that, you can sign up on the bulletin board in the hallway. Look with me now at our prayer concern list. I want you to be in prayer for Paul Browning's family in the loss of his mother. It was just a wonderful service yesterday at Oak Ridge United Methodist Church, and just continue to pray for Paul and the whole family. You notice there are a couple of new concerns from Bama King, friends of hers, Marion and Cecil. One was surgery for brain tumor and one gallbladder cancer, so be in prayer for them. Good news about Mark Johnston. He's no longer at Peak Resources because he's better and able to go back to his group home. So we're thankful for that, but continue to pray for Mark. Also ask your prayers for Eleanor Cook. I told you last week that she's been sick, and she continued to be sick this week and ended up having to be admitted to the hospital. She has pneumonia, so be in prayer for Eleanor Cook. Also, ask your prayers. Bob and Billy Hare passed along a prayer concern to me. Brad and Kenan McCollum, that's son and grandson of Bob Hare's sister-in-law. Brad will be giving his son a kidney on Tuesday. So be in prayer for both of them during this kidney surgery on Tuesday. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you would like to mention today? Thank you, Jerry. Jerry recently lost his dad and had a trip down to Florida for that, but a lot of you sent cards, and Jerry's appreciating that, so thank you, Jerry. We continue to pray for you. Okay, I've got, this is not so much a prayer concern, but just want to let you know, Katie DeJernet called me on Friday. Katie is one of our own, grew up in our church, and is now living in Pennsylvania, working for Hosanna Ministries, which is a ministry that helps with building and repair of buildings. It's a Christian ministry, and one of the things they're getting ready to do is work on an AME church outside Wilmington that was completely gutted by the flood in the Wilmington area, and so they're going down there to redo the inside of their fellowship hall and help that church. They need metal chairs, 8-foot-long tables, offering plates, communion table, that kind of thing for that church. And we don't have any extras that we could give, but I'm just mentioning that to you. I have no idea what your connections are, and of course the idea would be that they would need to, whatever you might have would need to get to Wilmington. They can't come and get it themselves. So I don't know if there's any way that could happen, but I'm just letting you know about that. And if you have any questions or if you have any ideas about how you might could help, let me know today, because she needs to know something by tomorrow. I also want to offer a word of praise. Just so thankful for all of our youth, but just got word this morning that Lauren Bartley and McNeil Johnston and Ryan Catalano have been chosen once again to serve as enablers at Massanutta Youth Camp this summer. This is not something that happens to everybody there. They have to qualify, and they choose only the best, and they've got the best in these three. So are you here? Ryan, stand, please. McNeil and Lauren, they have been ushering. They're standing in the back, so turn around and look at them. There they are, and let's congratulate them. Thank you so much. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together for the call to worship. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. We remember our Lord Jesus, though human on this earth, was transfigured in the glory of God on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There Jesus was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Jesus is the spotless Son of God, and it is Jesus whom we worship today. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, here we are in this place. We're all sinners. Jesus died for us because of our sin. And yet here we are, standing in your presence, ready to worship you, ready to declare that you are worthy above all others in our life to receive all glory, honor, and praise. And we seek to give you that, nothing less than that, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. Let us now confess our sins before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. God of compassion, in Jesus Christ we behold your transforming light, yet we continue to live in darkness. Preoccupied with ourselves, we fail to see your work in the world. We speak when we should listen. We act when we should reflect. Empower us to live in your light and to walk in your ways for the sake of him who is the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The sermon today is on forgiving others. We will be celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, so the Lord's table there reminds us that any forgiveness that we do of each other comes after the greatest forgiveness of all, which is God forgiving us of our many sins in Jesus Christ. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God has forgiven you. Amen. Okay, I'm going to invite the children to come down front. I'm going to invite these elders to scoot down and make room. All the children to sit on the front row so that you can literally have a front row seat for the Graham High School chorus. We're so glad to have them with us. Graham High School has a special place in my heart because my daughter graduated from Graham High School just a few years ago. And we're so thankful to have them with us. They do a great job. We're looking forward to all the songs that they're going to sing. But I want the children to have front row seat to hear the song, Hark, I Hear the Harps Eternal. Let's show our thanks for them. Now, y'all didn't let me down. I knew you were going to do a great job, and you did. Looking forward to your other songs, too. Didn't they do a great job? Some of you already, all of you, already sing in a choir. Sometimes you get up here and sing, and you do a great job. And guess what? Yes, you do. And as you get older, you can sing in other choirs. Maybe you'll go to a high school somewhere and be in a choir. That would be great, wouldn't it? Okay, let's have a prayer now. Make your praying hands, and I'll pray, and you listen. Dear God, thank you the way music speaks to us and reminds us of who you are and how much you love us. We thank you for this choir, but we thank you for every child sitting here and for how you have given them gifts. Whatever they are, may they use them for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, thanks so much for listening. Now you can head out to Children's Church with Josh. Oh, and Julie. And Lauren. For those of you visiting with us, we're actually coming to the conclusion of a sermon series, Flying Off the Handle. We've been trying to get a handle on different things in our lives, and today we come to handling forgiveness. Actually, the scripture, you can look at it in your pew Bible, but it's also printed there in your bulletin, so you can follow along there, Romans 12, 17 to 21. I told you last week that Romans 12 is the part of the letter that Paul wrote to the Romans where he starts telling them some specific practical ways that they can live together in love. If we're a community where we love each other and care for each other, what does that look like? And so he's telling them that in a specific way. And today we look at the portion in verses 17 to 21 where he talks about forgiving each other. Do you realize that any group of people, I've seen this church and other places, school, work, every place I've been in my life where there's more than one person, there ends up being a need for forgiveness. You know what I mean? Because we bump into each other, we mess up each other, we annoy each other, and we need to learn to forgive each other. And so he talks about that in these verses. So look at Romans 12, 17. We'll be looking at five principles of forgiveness. First, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. The principle there is don't be a good scorekeeper. Don't be a good scorekeeper. Now, I know that some of you, we're in a basketball season, you love to keep score with that. But in this case, don't be a good scorekeeper. For example, he says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. Do you realize that if God treated you that way, and for every sin, every time you came short of God's standard of perfection of holiness, God repaid you with judgment for every sin, evil for evil. Do you realize how bad that would be? In fact, we read about that in Psalm 130. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, whew, Lord, who could stand? The psalmist says. There's no way we could stand that. But with you, there is forgiveness. Forgiveness is remembering how much I have been forgiven by God. Do you realize that when I get out of touch with how much I have been forgiven, that what a sinner I am, I lose touch with how much I have been forgiven by God, then I start looking down on other people, setting myself up on a pedestal and looking down at them and think, oh, well, they're less than I am. That's wrong. I need to remember I have been forgiven greatly by God. I need to forgive others greatly. So don't be a good scorekeeper when it comes to deeds of evil. Number two, verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I like the way he puts that. If he just said live at peace with everyone, I'd tell him, Paul, you don't know what you're talking about. There's somebody I know that no matter what I do, I can't live at peace with her or him. But he says, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you. So the principle is do all you can do to make peace. Do all you can do to make peace. Forgiveness means repeating this process over and over and over again. Remember the parable of the unmerciful servant before that? Peter asked Jesus, how many times must I forgive someone if they do the same thing to me? Up to seven times? I don't know. Have you ever forgiven anybody for the same sin seven times? That's a lot. In fact, I think that might be too much. Jewish literature of the day, the Jewish rabbis had suggested three times. Peter said, I'm going to up that ante. I'm going to make it seven times. But Jesus said, no, not seven, but 77 or 490, 70 times seven, depending on which translation you use. Doesn't really matter. The point is, it needs to be even further than what you think. You need to be constantly over and over and over forgiving. Now, some people make this hard work, forgiving them. You know what I mean? But we still need to be willing to do our part as much as it depends on you. I read the story of a marriage counselor who told the story of how things went for him as he counseled couples. He said, if the couple comes in and they start the conversation and it goes something like this, one of them says, I've got to tell you, what she's done has really destroyed our relationship. And then the other one says, now wait a minute, you're putting all the blame on me when you're the one that ought to be blamed. He said, if they go back and forth like that, I know that that means that there will be multiple sessions and I'll make a lot of money off this couple. What makes the difference? He said, if a couple comes in and one of them is willing to say, I did wrong. If they're willing to say that, that's the beginning of healing. That's what Jesus did, you know. He was totally innocent, sinless, spotless. No court of law, human or divine, could find fault with him. And yet, God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that he could be our sin offering. Do all you can do to make peace. Number three, remember that you are not God. Some of you think, well, that's silly. I know I'm not God. Well, wait just a minute. Sometimes you act that way. Verse 19, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. One question I always get about forgiveness when I start talking about forgiveness is, what if the offender isn't willing to admit they're wrong or doesn't ask for forgiveness? Here's somebody who's done something wrong against me, but they're not willing to come and ask for forgiveness. Why should I give them forgiveness if they don't even ask for it? Reminds me of the story of the traveling preacher. He was traveling. It happened to be in New Jersey. He began preaching at this church. And he looked on one side of the church. Sorry, Sandra, you're the only woman sitting there. But there was a woman sitting on the front. You're not like this at all. But there was a woman sitting on the front row on one side. It was the meanest looking woman he had seen in his life. And he thought, well, I'm not going to preach to that side of the church. I'm going to look over here. At least I got two women here. It's the woman sitting on the, you can't see, there's one down there. He looked on that side of the church, and guess what? There was a woman sitting on the front row on that side of the church that was just as mean looking as this one. Almost identical. After the service, he asked one of the church leaders about these two women. They said, oh, they're twin sisters. He said, and they're sitting on opposite sides of the church? He said, yeah, they had a disagreement, so they don't sit together. He said, well, how long has this been going on? 23 years. Pat, the preacher said, well, it's a good thing they don't live together. He said, oh, but they do. Goodness, he said, has anyone ever talked to them about this? He said, I talked to one of them just last week. She said, I'm willing to forgive my sister, but in the 23 years since that thing happened, she's never once asked for forgiveness. Now, how am I supposed to forgive someone who doesn't even ask for forgiveness? Do you think if I talked to the other sister, she would say the same thing? Probably so. What would God do in that situation? Remember Romans 5? Even while we were still God's enemies, we weren't asking for forgiveness. We didn't care. We were still God's enemies. When we were still God's enemies, he still sent Christ. Christ died for us. We need to leave room for God to take care of things. And if you think a score needs to be settled, let God do it. That's why I say, remember, you're not God. You don't take revenge. You leave room for God to take care of it. And you know what you're doing when you step in and try to take care of it? You're acting like you're God. You're not God. Let God handle that. Fourth principle, verse 20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. That's actually a quote from Proverbs 25. The principle is, do something for your enemy that doesn't make sense. Do something for your enemy that doesn't make sense. Isn't that what God did? It didn't make sense for God to send Christ for sinners, when Christ was innocent. He did it even though it didn't make sense. Now, scholars are not sure about what that phrase means, heat burning coals on his head. It probably refers to some ancient practice that we don't fully understand. But while the literal meaning is unknown, the symbolic meaning seems to be clear. He's saying, be good to your enemy and it will show him up. As a Christian, if you have an enemy, what are you supposed to do to that enemy? Hate him. Avoid him. Don't speak to him. Tell everybody else what he's done wrong against you. No. What are you supposed to do? Love him. Feed him. Give him something to drink. Care for him. That reminds me of the story of a peace rally in Northern Ireland a few years ago, where Catholics and Protestants have struggled in hatred against each other for centuries. One pastor went to that rally and found that there were rows of chairs, a row of chairs on this side, a row of chairs on that side, separated by an aisle in the middle. The Protestants filed in. They all sat together on one side. The Catholics filed in. They all sat together on the other side. He thought, they can't even sit together. This is not going to go well. Well, they started the meeting. He held his breath to see what was going to happen, and he was ready, if fighting broke out, to just exit the building. But one man stood and started talking. He said, I'm a Protestant. Over the years, I've hated Catholics and done terrible things to some of you. Will you forgive me? That broke the ice. The Catholics said in one voice, in the name of Jesus, we forgive you. Then a Catholic man stood up. He said, I've done some terrible things. I've been a terrorist and set off bombs to try to kill you. But as I've thought about Jesus' teachings, what Jesus actually said, I wanted to come to you in the spirit of Jesus and ask you, do you have it in your hearts to forgive me? The Protestants responded, we forgive you. Well, more and more people stood, and you know how it is, and some people begin to bare their hearts, and there's weeping, and people are being honest and sharing. Finally, there was a man there in a wheelchair with no legs. He spoke up. He said, I always hated Protestants. One day I turned on the ignition of my car, and a bomb went off. I lost both of my legs. I knew who had done this to me, and I hated every one of them. I wanted to kill every one of them. Then my priest prayed with me and shared some scripture, and over time, I came to the place where the Spirit of Jesus changed my heart. I have even forgiven the man who did this to me. At that point, a Protestant man stood up and said, he's telling you the truth. I'm the man who set the bomb, and he's forgiven me. The Catholic man in the wheelchair spoke up and said, oh, wait a minute. He's not telling you the whole story. My wife died 2 years ago, and I had no place to go, nobody to take care of me. My Protestant friend who just stood up, he's been changed by the same Jesus who changed me. When he found that I was all alone and had nobody to take care of me, he invited me to live with him, and he's been taking care of me ever since. We have become brothers in Christ. The true story. What can change somebody like that? From hatred to love. The love of Jesus. The forgiveness that we experience from Jesus as it fills up our hearts and we share it with others. Let me ask you, do you have an enemy? Do you want to keep that enemy? Or are you willing to take care of him or her and lose an enemy and make a friend? Do something that doesn't make sense. Do it out of love. And then verse 21, the conclusion, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The principle is win the victory over evil by doing good. Win the victory over evil by doing good. Is there evil in this world? Absolutely. You see it around you? What are you going to do about it? Fight it? Hate it? Despise it? Maybe so. But ultimately, you win the victory over evil by doing good. Let me tell you, forgiveness is the hardest work you will ever do. The deeper the hurt, the harder the work. The longer the time has gone on, the harder the work. It is hard to let go of those hurts. But imagine holding that hurt in your hand and squeezing it so hard because it hurts so bad and that you leave an imprint on your hand. And then imagine one day, by the grace of God, taking that hurt and opening that grip that you've gripped for so long, just gradually opening it and letting that hurt fall to the ground, never to be picked up again. And imagine you as one individual doing that. And then imagine Christians all over Alamance County, all over North Carolina, all over the world doing that, forgiving each other, forgiving other people who don't deserve forgiveness, forgiving people who've done wrong, forgiving groups that aren't even Christians, forgiving people in other religions, forgiving people who don't deserve forgiveness, but in love, overcoming evil by doing good. You think that'd make a difference? You know, I use my imagination to think what that would be like. You know what that is? That's the kingdom of God. Jesus came to show us what the kingdom of God, what it looks like when God takes over. That's the kingdom of God. What it looks like when people follow what Jesus has said, when they let go of the hurts and they forgive. Friends, don't be overcome by evil. Don't live your whole life letting evil control you and overcome you. Don't be overcome by it, but instead overcome evil with good. This table set before us reminds us, I don't deserve this forgiveness. You don't deserve it. But Jesus came and gave his very life, his body, we remember in the bread, his blood, we remember in the cup. He sacrificed it all so that we, even though we don't deserve it, might be forgiven and might come to know God. Let us prepare our hearts now to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. As we sing together, you'll find the words in your bulletin, the hymn, I Come With Joy. Let me invite you, as you're able, to stand together as we sing. Please be seated. Let us pray now. Oh Lord, we thank you for your grace and mercy shown us in Jesus Christ our Savior, who gathered with his disciples on the night before his death and offered them bread, saying, take, eat, this is my body. Do this and remember me. The same way also after supper he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So, Lord, we thank you that we can gather in this place and partake of this meal and be reminded that we're drawn together. Yes, we're all sinners, but we're drawn together in our faith in Jesus Christ, who offers us the greatest forgiveness of all. Amen. Let me invite you now to listen. We're going to do communion a little differently today. The choir is going to be singing some songs. You'll find those in your bulletin. I hope that you will be able to enjoy each one of them and meditate on God's forgiveness of you. The elders will be serving you the bread. As you're served the bread, we're going to invite you to go ahead and partake as you are served. And then in a few minutes, they'll come back and serve the cup. We invite you to partake of that as you are served. And then we won't have time in between the two like we normally do because the choir will be singing during all of the time. So receive the sacrament, receive this sign and seal of God's grace to you, and as you do, be blessed by the music that reminds you of God's love as well.
Let us pray. Oh Lord, as we have partaken of this meal, as we've been reminded of your forgiveness of us and how we need to forgive each other, we look forward to that day when indeed we'll gather around the river of God, that river that flows in your presence, and we will rejoice, and we will be completely changed, and we will love as you have called us to love. But Lord, help us not to wait till that day. Help us to let your work in our hearts begin now as you change us little by little. Change us into the people you've called us to be, to mirror the image of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Long ago taught his followers to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You'll see in your bulletin now as we receive the offering that the regular offering plates will receive our regular church offering, but the baskets that will be passed after the offering plates will be for the Graham High School chorus. So any money you place on those baskets will go to the chorus. If you want to write a check, that's fine. Just make it payable to Graham Presbyterian Church. Let us give thanks now for all of God's good gifts. Lord, we do want to praise you. We do want to serve you. We do that now through these gifts that we present to your glory. May you take what we do, which seems like little to us, but multiply it by your power and use it to do good. We pray in Jesus' name. I just want to say thank you once again, Jennifer and whole chorus, for being here today. Do you hear sometimes that there are problems in our schools? Sometimes it seems like that's all you hear. These kids are not the problem. We're thankful for you. Now, I know it's hard to be young and do the right thing, so we're going to pray for you that God will give you all the strength that you need to do what God has called you to do. But we love you and thank you so much for giving your time and your talents to be here today. Thank you so much. So now, as you go from this place, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, now and forevermore. Amen. Oh.